Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position, plus two wild cards and two coaches, to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Tristan Thompson spoke to the media, and you are gonna love this guy. You'll hear everything he said right here on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter and the host of this Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Here for you Monday through Friday. So if you are new to the podcast, welcome. You're going to get a daily show if you subscribe. Every Monday through Friday, it's me. Occasionally, I'll throw some guests on here with me. But everything you need to know about the Boston Celtics, I'll explain things if I need to explain things. I'll play audio if I think the audio is worth playing. And you'll hear from these players like today. You're going to hear everything Tristan Thompson had to say in his first meeting with the Boston media. That's coming up in segment two. So subscribe if you want to get this show to your device on a daily basis. Regular listeners, by the way, I love you. Your ratings, your reviews have made this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and I really appreciate that because that's a hell of a thing I can say. That's one great bragging right that I've got. So thank you. I appreciate that very much. Everyone who has sent me their Spotify number one lists, some people have been listening a lot, and that's awesome. So thank you all very, very much. Segment three, by the way, today, some mailbag questions. I answered most of the mailbag questions on Mass Live. I have a few left over. I'm going to keep those in segment three. I'm going to spend this first segment, though, just, well, gushing a little bit about Tristan Thompson. Now, we heard from the Locked On Cavs podcast that we're going to love Tristan Thompson. We heard that from Chris Manning that, yeah, this guy's going to come in. He's going to work hard. He's a good guy. He's good in the locker room. And you're going to love him in Boston. And I'll tell you what, after that first media session, I can totally see where Chris was coming from. Because Thompson sat there and gave thoughtful answers to every question. And I'll tell you, as a reporter, listening to players not give thoughtful answers all the time and be cliche machines, I can really appreciate someone giving actual answers. I'll tell you what, just from my perspective, trading out Gordon Hayward for Tristan Thompson is a huge win because Gordon Hayward is a cliche machine. He says nothing of value after games. Like, it's always, well, we'll watch more film and we'll try to get better and, you know, whatever. Like he says like 5% of what he says after games or in media scrums. Like that's almost never, when it comes to the game, he almost never shares anything. So the only time he's ever like somewhat forthright is when he's talking about the injuries or when he was talking about leaving for Charlotte. He's a cliche machine. And I'll tell you what, I get it. I totally get it. Teams don't want players being headline machines. Teams don't want players out there giving these great quotes all the time, because sometimes those great quotes come at other people's expense, or they can be distractions or whatever, but they just would love everybody to be nice and boring, spit out your cliches, let the beat writers figure out how to spin those cliches into something interesting, and we'll just go back to playing basketball. But Tristan Thompson, I'll tell you, he will sit there and answer a question, and he really seems like he's giving a thoughtful answer, which is fun for me. And the answers that he did give are fun for you, because him talking about his experience with the Cavaliers was just it was just great to hear. First of all, he had nothing but positive things to say about Cleveland, and just him talking about the championship experience, the championship runs that he had there, and the just the way he's going to like impart that knowledge on everybody here in Boston. It was kind of great to hear all of the things that he's focused on. And as I wrote on masslive.com, the Celtics can almost take his play for granted, that, you know, like it's a given that he's going to come in, he's going to work his ass off, he's going to rebound, he's going to defend. You can count on him to defend a pick and roll and not get roasted. He's going to set picks on offense. He's going to roll to the basket. He'll catch a few lobs. He'll pass out of the roll. He'll do the things that you need him to do. He's not going to be the best center in the league. He's not going to be the worst center in the league. He's going to be a solid guy that does solid things on the floor and is helpful for this team. And you can kind of take it for granted. What the Celtics, I feel like, really love about Tristan Thompson is this other stuff. And I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again. There is a reason why Danny Ainge specifically brought up that Thompson was on that team that beat the 73-win Golden State Warriors when they were down 3-1, that they came back to win. It was like the first thing that he mentioned. And there's a reason why that's the first thing that he mentioned. Because coming off of that Miami series in the playoffs just a couple of months ago, coming off of that where the Celtics blew multiple 20-point leads, where the Celtics blew many opportunities through mental mistakes, a lack of focus, having a guy come in and mentioning that stuff first, it's a clear message to his team. It's a clear message to the Celtics. Like, hey, you know what? You guys didn't do this last year. Last season, at the end of last season, you guys couldn't pull this off. So I went and got a guy that was on the other side and pulled off a 3-1 win in the finals against the best team in NBA history, the best regular season team in NBA history. Like, that's a message. And to hear Tristan Thompson talk about it, it was really cool. You know, talking about how a leader lifts up his team in those situations, how a guy, and he's talking about LeBron. It was a funny moment too, because I started to ask him a question in relation to Jason Tatum. And I said, and you'll hear it, I said, you played with one of the best players of all time. And he says, the best player of all time. Interrupts me just to specifically mention that. But he has taken to heart, it seems, a lot of the leadership that he has learned from LeBron and what it takes to be a leader. And not just be a leader, but to give back, where it's not just standing there saluting the best player on the team and saying, yes, sir, no, sir. Oh, you want me to set this pick, sir? Okay. That he wants to be held accountable, Tristan Thompson does, and he also wants to hold other people on the team accountable. That being a good team means holding each other accountable and wanting each other to be the best version of themselves. So when I asked him that question in relation to Jason Tatum, he's talking about, you know, LeBron and saying, look, Tatum has earned the right to step up and say what he needs to say, but I have the right to, you know, call him out if I feel like I need to as well. And by holding each other accountable, we're going to build a trust in each other that's going to take us to another level. That is the exact type of leader that this team needs. You don't need somebody that's going to come in here and take 40 shots. You don't need somebody that's going to come in here and try to jockey with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They, you know, obviously the Celtics do want to find a third star if they can, but if Jason Tatum ascends to an MVP candidate and Jaylen Brown ascends to an All-Star and potentially All-NBA, then that's what they need. That's what they got. Those are the two players that are going to carry them. They've got Kemba Walker eventually who's going to support that. And Tristan Thompson can be kind of one of the glue guys in addition to Marcus Smart that holds it together. And frankly, getting Marcus Smart like a partner in that regard, not a bad thing at all. Like, yeah, Marcus Smart is the de facto captain of this team, but Tristan Thompson coming in and kind of backing him up and being another kind of like enforcer, for lack of a better term, that's important. That has value. So I got to tell you, my first impression of Tristan Thompson was pretty damn good and better than I thought it was going to be. So shout out to Locked On Cavs and Chris Manning. You said it. You were right. If you missed that episode, it was a couple of weeks ago. You should go listen to it again because he was dead on. Up next, you're going to hear from Tristan Thompson. I'm going to play you everything he had to say so you can hear it for yourself. Now, tomorrow, you might face a wall, a mental wall, a physical wall, a time of the day where your energy just isn't there. Your eyes might be drooping. You might want to go to the gym, but you just, ugh, Friday. Who wants to go to the gym on Friday? Built Go is going to help you break through that wall. It is a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and it's natural. It's an ounce and a half package that you can put in any briefcase, backpack, purse, whatever that you want to carry around. It's very easy to carry around. Put it in your pocket. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine, but better results. The three flavors that it comes in are delicious: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. This energy gel is combined with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, so it gets into you fast, it's easy on your stomach, and it ignites your workout with beta-alanine, B3, honey, that kick of caffeine, and B6 and B12 vitamins. Plus, the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So while you're getting healthy, this stuff helps you make you look even better. So go to BuiltBow.com and use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Full Celtics workouts begin over the weekend, which means next week, basketball to talk about. That's right, basketball. And I'll have everything you need to know about what's going on with the Celtics next week here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, including, hey, preseason games start on Friday. So we're getting back to like on-court stuff. So subscribe, make sure you're subscribed to get this to your device every single day. Now, Tristan Thompson, in the first segment I told you was awesome. I will back that up right now by playing you his entire media availability.
Start with Mark Murphy.
Hi, Tristan.
Hi. Oh, there's no video. I can't see him. Oh, what's going on, Mark?
Hey. You had such a long association with one team in this league, which is, I guess, kind of unique now. How hard was that decision, and what led to it?
Like you said, spending my first 9 years in the league with Cleveland Cavaliers, and obviously being drafted there at 19 and winning a championship and having a lot of success, but also going through the process of what it takes to be at the mountaintop. Of course, it's tough, but that's part of chapter in life. I think in life you go through different phases, different chapters. It's like a book. So, I had an amazing opportunity to be able to play for a franchise for 9 years, and Dan Gilbert and the whole staff and the front office and everyone that was a part of that to give me the opportunity to play that many years and believe in me. I appreciate that, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and I think. This was the best decision for me in my career and the point that I'm at to, join a team that's trying to do something special. And, for me, being the four straight finals and winning a championship and knowing what they're trying to achieve and they want to go to the promised land, if I could come here and, help be a part of that and get them over that hump, that'd be an honor.
Adam Himmelsbach.
Hey, Tristan, can you kind of walk us through a little bit the process? Like, obviously, at what point the Celtics reached out to you and what they kind of described their vision to you of how they feel like you can fit in here and why you chose that this was the best place for you?
Yeah, I think a coach always told me usually the team that you have a lot of success against or beat up against a lot in years in the playoffs, they usually want you to join their side when you're available or when you become a free agent. So, I've always heard the rumblings about Celtics interested in me, and I got a good relationship with Jalen. I've known Jalen since he first got drafted, and JT, we've talked and he's reached out to me, after the deadline and all that stuff about coming to join them. So, when free agency started, it's not July 1st; it was December 1st or whatever the day was, November, whatever it is. I'm just all confused with my days because nothing's in NBA order anymore. But, Mr. Ainge called me around when I was able to give those phone calls. And, he told me about how much, he loves my game and how much, I could be a great piece of this team and a missing piece to what they're trying to accomplish. And, the fact that, Kemba reached out to me, and I've known Kemba since – we both played in high school when he was at Rice and I was at St. Benedict. So I've had relationships with all these guys and for them to be, felt like I was wanted and felt like, they really wanted me to be a part of what they're trying to accomplish. It was a pretty easy decision.
Jared Weiss.
Hey, Tristan, you were just talking about trying to help this team get over the top. As someone who's been to the finals a bunch of times and has even knocked this team out of the conference finals a bunch of times, can you kind of elaborate on what the difference is between getting to the conference finals and actually getting over that hump and even winning the championship?
I mean, I think every year it's different. I think it depends on, it's all about the matchup, right? So I think for this team, what really attracted me to the Celtics is how young and talented these guys are. I mean, Jalen, Jason, even Smart, how young they are and how talented they are at such a young age. I always remember when Kyrie and Gordon were out, and, you had Terry and you had, all these young guys. You had Tatum, he was a rookie. You had JB, he was, I think, second year, maybe third year, I can't remember. And then Smart, very similar, third, fourth year. For them to take us to a game seven at such a young age, that's a promising ball club. So I think, with my experience and who I've been around, playing with LeBron and learning, day in and day out, what he puts in and how he punches the clock and almost trusting that whole process. I know it's such a cliche thing to say because Joel Embiid and the Sixers basically use it till they turn black and blue in terms of trust the process, but that's what it really is. And I think, it's very little, it's whether it's a couple possessions or a key stop in the conference finals that can get you to the finals. And I think it's those little things that, hopefully I can come in and be the difference maker to help this team get to, where they want to get to.
John Corrales.
Hey, Tristan. Danny Ainge the other day specifically mentioned that you were on that team that came back from down 3-1 to beat the Warriors. He seemed to really focus on that as one of the reasons why you would help this team from a leadership standpoint. Can you maybe explain what he's looking for in that?
Yeah, I think my experience, being a part of coming back from 3-1 and being a big part of that and having big games in those moments, I think it could help a lot with these guys because, you know, being down 3-1, you know, everyone will say no one in NBA history has ever done it. The Golden State Warriors is the best team in NBA history. To hear all that, but for our group to stick together, and I think the key for our ball club at that moment and that time period was that how close together we were. I think our relationship was so tight off the court that when we were down 3-1, you know, people counted us off. But, you know, that same night when we were, you know, the game was over, we all texted each other and said, you know, we think we can win the series. So if we win game five, we win the series. And, you know, LeBron texted everyone and said, you know, if you don't think we have a chance to win game five or win the series, then don't come on the plane. And that's something that as a leader and a guy, that young guy, hearing your leader say that and how much he believes in this ball club, it says a lot. And it almost gave the guys that maybe weren't sure if we could actually do it, it gave them faith and hope. And to experience that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to be a part of something like that. So for me to be able to, you know, share my wisdom from what I learned from Bron to pass down to these guys, it's what the NBA is about. I think this is a fraternity, and whenever you have the chance to play with greatness or, you know, one of the best players to ever play our game, you always want to pass down the wisdom. So if I can pass wisdom down to, you know, JT or Jalen, then he's going to pass it down to the next young guys that are coming up. That's how you keep the cycle going.
Gary Washburn.
Hey, Tristan. First of all, you've been in the league almost 10 years now. How does your body feel? You're still only 29. Have you reached your peak yet? And what have you done over the last few years to improve your free throw shooting, your offensive game? Seems like you've really polished those skills.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, 29, I'm still a young pup in this game. I think everyone gets so used to, you know, seeing me and the Cavaliers on TV at a high level. People almost forget that, you know, he was just a young fellow playing with these, you know, these guys in their, you know, prime or end of their prime. With my teammates, they were all over, you know, 32 and I was, you know, 25, 26. Kyrie was the same way. People always think, you know, we're actually older than we are, but, you know, I guess it's the luxury of being a one and done guy. You play in the NBA a little earlier, but my body feels great. You know, I have a lot of room to grow. And like you said, Gary, you know, you've seen the growth in my game every year, and that's what I want to continue to do and continue to do here with the Celtics. So I feel great. You know, I've had time off, of course, during those 5, 6, 7 months, however long it was, came my Groundhog Day. But, you know, it was on the court and in the weight room taking care of my body, just, you know, getting prepared for this. And I think for me, I could bring a breath of fresh air because, you know, these guys didn't have an off season, and for me, having a long off season, bring that extra juice to kind of fire guys up.
Brian, Rob.
Hey, Tristan. Just wanted to see if you've been able to talk with Brad much yet in terms of what he kind of envisions for your role on the court and where specifically you think you'll be able to help this team the most based on what you know, seen that they have so far.
No, Coach Stevens, me and him talked, and I think, you know, he said everything that I was expecting for him to say in terms of just, you know, with this ball club, I could just be myself, come out and you know, of course, you know, share my wisdom, whether the good stuff or the bad stuff that I've seen or been around, to help these guys continue to grow, to become better pros and bring us together as a team in terms of leadership-wise, but in terms of offensively, defensively, bringing that energy. I think my energy is going to ignite the team, and that's what he was saying to me, that, you know, I got to be the motor that jumpstarts the team and get us going. So, you know, that's, I've always had that role, and, you know, I've been like that since day one. So coming in, you know, I'm going to play harder than the big against that I'm going against. Whoever I'm playing against, play harder than them, and, you know, that's contagious. And I think you know, everyone around the league knows how valuable that is. So, you know, just being myself. And I think it's worked out pretty well for me. And I think, you know, for this ball club, it can help them a lot.
John Corrales.
Tristan, you obviously played a lot with one of the greatest players ever. And now you're playing
the greatest player ever.
That's fair. Now you're playing with a guy in Jason Tatum that's looking to make a leap into, you know, an MVP type conversation. what knowledge can you impart on Jason after having seen what it takes to achieve that level of greatness in a locker room?
I think for JT, just keep working, just keep your head, you know, just in the gym. And I, you know, JT's been in here every day working hard, working on his game. And I think, you know, since his rookie year and in those playoffs, everyone saw the oozing potential and saw that, you know, this kid has what it takes to be in the MVP conversation. And this season, I mean, even last season before the pandemic hit, he was, you know, that game in Utah and in LA, the way he was playing. And I watch a lot of those Celtics games. So the way he was playing at a high level, he was putting himself in that conversation. So I expect for it to keep going like that and trending in that direction. So for my advice to him is, you know, whatever you're doing, keep doing, you know, keep working on your game, keep watching film, whatever's been working for you, keep doing that. And also, you know, never be afraid to, you know, speak up. If you see something that's not right, you've earned the right with this ball club to speak up and say your mind. You know right from wrong. And you're the type of guy, I always preach that, you know, if you're a guy that punches in the clock and does the right things every day, you earn the right to light a fire under your teammates' ass or call them out. And because we all expect the best from each other. I want Jason to be the best Jason he can be, and he should want me to be the best Tristan I can be. And that's what real brotherhood, that's what leadership is about. And that's how you take your game to the next level. Because, you know, playing with Bron, you know, he'll call us out and, you know, want us to be better, but we'll hold him accountable the same way. And once you're able to do that and your teammates respect that, that's when, you know, your game goes to a whole nother level.
Final question for Tristan, Chris Ryan.
Hey, Tristan, wondering, you know, in what ways specifically you think you bring this team over the top, particularly in regards to the physicality and toughness?
Yeah, no, definitely physicality and toughness. I think, you know, Smart is a bulldog, and he's done a great job, you know, since he's come here day one, not backing down from anyone. And I think he's done that awesome at the guard position. I think for me now at the big position, bringing that same energy and, you know, playing against you guys seen or saw me enough to see how I play, and I'm going to play the exact same way. When I was in a Cleveland Cavalier jersey playing you guys in the playoffs or in the regular season, I'm going to bring that same gritness and toughness. And, you know, you saw in the Miami series, their bigs are playing at a high level and playing well. So for me, it's to come in there and, you know, try to slow those guys down and make it tough for them. And, you know, like Big Perk would say, lay that wood.
All right. We're going to wrap it up right there. Thanks, Tristan.
Yep. Thank you guys.
Right. Tell me I'm right. Tell me right now, John, you're right. I am going to love this guy. Right. Say it out loud so I can hear you. Thank you. I'm telling you, this whole season, he's going to be the guy that gives you the money quotes. He's going to be the guy that kind of tells it like it is. I don't think he's going to be shy at all. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So get ready to really like Tristan Thompson. Up next, the mailbag. A few questions that I didn't get to on Mass Live, including questions about Jay King and Sam Jam Packard. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The wait is almost over. The 2020-21 NBA season is almost here, and the Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts. One of those is me, by the way. Plus, waiver wire editions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. I, every Friday, do a mailbag on masslive.com. It is, almost every Friday, joined by a mailbag podcast here. Now, the season is beginning, so I don't know if I'm going to keep doing full-on mailbags here. We'll see how the season goes. Maybe I move them a day. I don't know. But I'm not going to do a mailbag podcast the day after a game, right? That's not going to work. But I will answer your questions here and on masslive.com. So email me, jcorrales@masslive.com, to be included. Now, I just put a 2,000-word mailbag together that answered most of the questions. However, a few of them I wanted to answer here just because I thought they might have been a little bit more appropriate for the podcast, including a question from Ryan, who asks, I think Jeremy Grant's a good fit for the Celtics with the traded player exception. He's an excellent 3-and-D player and could be a boost off the bench. My only concern is that I'm not sure Detroit has any plans on trading him. Do you think Jeremy Grant is a good fit for the Celtics? And what do you think Detroit would want in return? Well, I'll just say that they just signed him for 3 years and $60 million. That's not a guy that's getting traded. They didn't bring him in just to trade him away. And if they brought him in to sign him for $20 million, the types of players that they're going to want from the Boston Celtics, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Because, first of all, if you're matching salaries, the guys that you need to match, you're not getting an equal value anymore. Jeremy Grant would be fun on the Celtics. He's just not in the Celtics price range, and that's why they didn't go for him, because he's making, obviously, $20 million a year in Detroit. Like, he's a good player. And I think Jeremy Grant would be great for the Celtics. But he's not leaving Detroit. They literally just got him. And it's not going to work. And just let me expand this. The traded player exception it makes it harder to trade for players who are like good and in good situations. Now, I'm not going to say Detroit's a good situation, but Jeremy Grant chose Detroit, chose that situation. It's good for him. Detroit is whatever they're doing. They're trying to do something, but that's not part of what they're trying. They're not trading him away is not what they're trying to do. When you're looking at the traded player exception, look for teams that may be looking to clear a roster spot, clear salary cap, move on from a player, and are willing to do so for nothing or very little. So when we talk about players in Orlando or Chicago, you know, especially when I look at Chicago and I say, well, they've got cap space that they want to clear. Miami wants to clear cap space to try and sign a player. Those teams that might be looking to clear space, maybe save on the tax, and they have good players that they might just say, you know what? He's not part of our future. We would like to save some money on the tax or so on. Here you go. This works for us. And you throw a couple of picks, maybe in a separate deal if it's legal for the other team. You throw a Romeo Langford if that's what it takes, or Daniel Tice. If you're ready to put Robert Williams in there, you know, different situations like that. But the traded player exception is not just the canvas the league. Like, ooh, this guy's good. Let's try to get him, because the other team's going to have to want to give him up. Not only give him up, but you're not matching salary. You're not getting a ton back in return. So Jeremy Grant would be out. Victor asks, I was wondering your stance on Celtics fans or certain bloggers that just bash or talk unnecessary BS on players or their families when they leave the team. Like, I've been seeing harsh words on Robin Hayward and Gordon. Still don't understand the Kyrie thing. I'm upset and sad, sure, but Danny Ainge would blink an eye. Why should we tarnish them beyond NBA players and just get into their personal lives? They are human also, no? So, yes. I'm not a fan of going after family members. I know that I can't stop it. And people are going to say what they're going to say. And to be fair, there are people who kind of... It's an interesting discussion. There are people who put themselves out there on social media. Okay, Robin Hayward being one of them. She puts herself out there on social media. And by putting yourself out there on social media, you open yourself up to a level of criticism. You open yourself up to some level of response. And the unfortunate fact is some of that response is going to be negative. Some of it is going to be unfair. Some of it's going to be gross. I'm not a fan of doing that stuff, but some people, they, you know, some people will say they're just joking around. The Kyrie stuff, I don't know. I think some people just take things too seriously and they don't see players, as you said here, Victor, in the last comment, they're humans also. They are humans. And so I just happen to think that a lot of people almost don't see them as humans. They see them as characters in a play. And they feel like they can say anything. So I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like it. It's unnecessary. Just move on. Okay. Player left. It sucks. It doesn't help. And you know what also doesn't help is the sports talk radio blowhards fanning the flames. I saw one guy post a tweet. I forget who it was. I don't care. Post a tweet of Kemba Walker sitting there saying like he was happy in Boston and he was responding to a question about Charlotte signing Hayward. And he says, I'm in Boston because I want to be here. This is where I belong. And the tweet was something like, well, if you love being here so much, take off the hat. Kimbo's wearing a Yankees hat. All right, this is Boston. And, you know, Boston, Red Sox, New York Yankees is obviously a rivalry. Kemba's from the Bronx. Like, what do you want him to do? I respect Kemba representing his team in Boston. Because let me tell you what. If I was good enough to be an NBA player, and if I was drafted by the Knicks, I would be wearing my Red Sox hat. When I moved to New York in 2010 for work there, I walked around with my Red Sox hat on all the time. I had Boston gear on all the time. I made sure everybody there knew I was from Boston. That's what you do. You represent. So I respect Kemba wearing his Yankees hat. Like, he's not trying to be anybody but who he is. That's legit. Like, I respect someone being who he is, who she is. Whoever you are, be true to yourself. So, I'd rather have a genuine person make a genuine decision, do something genuine. Say, all right, fine. So, but I think that some of these attitudes that are out there are fueled by people with platforms who want to say stupid things like that. So that's what I say. I don't like talking about people's families. I think that should be pretty off limits. Although I understand when somebody puts themselves out there on social media, it kind of changes the calculus on that. So I have this question. It comes from Emil. He says, I'm a newer podcast listener. I've been on Celtics Twitter previously, but really wasn't as invested as I am now. So what happened with you and Sam and Jay? I know you three used to host together and they went to The Athletic, but is there more to it? I feel like there are veiled jabs at each other every once in a while. There are veiled jabs at one another because that's how guys who are friends act. I have no animosity towards Sam and Jay. What happened is Jay King works for The Athletic, and The Athletic decided to start a podcast. And Jay and Sam were doing the podcast. It was the three of us on this show. And The Athletic said, hey, we're going to start a podcast. And Jay, you work for us. Why don't you start the podcast with us? they compensated for him for it. And he said, okay, I'll do it. So he went and started a podcast. And then they paid Sam to join him. And then I was here by myself. And yeah, in fact, I could have been part of that, but there was no way that they could afford me. So I am here. And I'm very happy to be here. I love the Locked On Podcast Network. I think David Locke has done an amazing job building up the network, and this podcast has grown along with it. So I'm very happy to do this show. Sometimes Sam and Jay will be back. If you haven't heard any of those podcasts, sometimes I'll go on to Anything Is Potable. I'm fine. There are so many good writers on this Celtics beat. There's so many good people putting out so much great content. And maybe I'm biased, I think Celtics fans are pretty lucky to get this much great content. Like, there's a lot out there. And all I want is to be part of that ecosystem. Now, of course, I'm also competitive, so I will tweak those guys when it's an opportunity to say, oh, hey, this podcast is ranked higher than yours, or, oh, you listened to my podcast before that one, or whatever. And so there are plenty of people who like their podcast better, which is fine. You know, hopefully you listen to more than one podcast, and I'm the second one. You want to listen to them first and me second? That's fine. If you want to read Jay's stuff on The Athletic and then read mine, fine. Or if you don't want to read mine, also fine. Like, I'd like to earn people's listens and reads, but those guys are really cool. We're all really different in a lot of ways. I am probably, I don't want to say twice their age, so it's not like I'm going to be hanging out with Sam Packard with his 20-something-year-old friends because I'm in my 40s, but you know, I'm immature enough to hang out with Sam and Jay every once in a while too. So, it's great. We will bust each other's balls every once in a while. And I know Jay loves to get under my skin. He tries to sometimes. And every once in a while I'm like, oh, you know what? No, I'm responding to this. I know he likes it when he gets me going. And he can, that's for sure. But I think ultimately Jay, Sam, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for one another. If they wanted to come back tomorrow and do the show again, I'm totally on board with that. And, you know, I owe a lot to Jay. Jay's the one that asked me to do the podcast. Like, Jay called me, I forget what year it was. It was a long time ago. Maybe it was like 2014 or so. And he said, hey, you want to do a podcast? I was like, yes, I do want to do a podcast. I've always loved doing podcasts. And so we created a show because he called me. And then we created it and called it The Rain and Jays. And then David Locke called us up and said, hey, love the podcast. Why don't, you know, we're starting this network, and we became one of the flagship shows, Locked On Celtics, on the Locked On Podcast Network. So if Jay never called me, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this podcast, I don't think. So, you know, how can I, you know, I owe Jay a lot, because, you know, it's all because we had a good relationship and we wanted to do a show together. And every time we're on a show together, it's great. I always enjoy talking to them. So that's my whole spiel on Jay and Sam. And if you believe that, no, I'm kidding. And Emil has one quick follow-up. It says, any thoughts on having guest hosts from your listeners? Now, I did do a voicemail line. That kind of faded away. It was kind of fun. And look, in the off-season, certainly possibly. And I have done... a couple of times I've put it out there, like, who's available on Skype? throw me your Skype name and we'd talk for like 3 minutes. And then I did do a couple of episodes like that. That will happen in the off season when I'm like looking for something to do. It's a great way. So yes, that is certainly something that can happen. And I know your follow-up to that follow-up, Emil, is can you be one of them? Sure. Whenever I do that, you can be one of them. And finally, Aiden, who asked the question that was also answered on Mass Live, but he did have one last question. Were you in Greece when Greece won the Euro Championship in 2004? And how long was the country drunk for? Maybe still celebrating. I was not there in 2004. I was back here and I had been back here for a while, and they continue to celebrate that. And I would say the country is perpetually drunk because we Greeks like to party. We really like to celebrate. If there's one thing that we love to do is to have a good time. So there's a good chance that we Greeks have a stocked liquor cabinet. There's a good chance that we'll dip into that every once in a while. And if there's anything to celebrate, we will celebrate it. Because, hey, you got to just live your life, man. It's just, you know, we love to enjoy things in Greece. We really are a fun group. An emotional group. We talk with our hands and raise our voices. I've been accused of yelling a lot of times when I'm just talking but getting excited. My voice gets loud and it projects. So I get the, why are you yelling? I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm just excited about this. Or when I'm arguing with somebody or debating with somebody, I get going. My voice carries. It's I've been in restaurants talking about things and getting excited and I'd see people around the room looking at me. So we Greeks, we're passionate. We're a passionate group. I appreciate the questions. As I've said before, Celtics questions, NBA questions, anything questions. Yeah, I'll answer them. I'll answer them all. Let's have fun with it. So email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. That is the end of this podcast and the end of this week's podcast. But please follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. Follow my work at masslive.com/Celtics, because Friday and Saturday will be more media availabilities. I can put those together and see what happens on Monday. Monday's podcast can include some of that stuff. So lots of stuff coming out. And if anything huge happens, I'll put it all together for you on Monday. So subscribe if you're new and not subscribed. Please do that so you can get this to your phone the moment it drops. Regular listeners, I know you've done this, but if you haven't, by chance, a 5-star rating, a good written review would be awesome. And sharing the podcast is the most important thing. Spread the word. Tell people that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, and only the Locked On Celtics podcast, damn it, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.